live from Charleville Castle. This is the Dark Side.
Remind me again why we're doing this.
We're a bit mad, I think.
No. I'm not a bit mad. I just do radio. This is your game. I recall you doing this a couple of years ago. You say, I don't believe in any of this stuff.
Well, okay, so here's my opinion, is that not necessarily that I don't believe in any of this stuff, but I don't believe that so-called psychics can contact the other side. Do I believe in a spirit world? Perhaps. I believe that it may exist, and I suppose that's really why we're here today, Casey, is to explore that world and see what happens. And we are in, apparently, the most haunted castle in Ireland, Charleville Castle. So who's to say I'm right or wrong? But listen, you know, I'm a psychological illusionist. My job here today is to affect people and make them at least believe that perhaps there's something in the room here. And then after that, who knows what might happen? Harriet, who apparently haunts this castle, and Harriet did die here.
Come here, follow me. Follow me, okay?
Yeah, we've got an old painting, and apparently this is the only image that they actually have of Harriet. I'm sure Dudley later on will tell you a little bit of the history of this girl, but she did fall, I think it was 3 or 4 stories down the balcony when she was, I think, 6. And apparently she haunts this castle. Now listen, I'm a little bit skeptical myself. And my job is to try and bring Harriet out to play. So we've got a couple of toys on the table here. We've got a little ball. We've got, there's also seance.
What was that?
That was just you, Casey. Casey just knocked something over and nearly gave himself a hernia.
Wait until the lights go off. Yeah. Oh my God.
She was at the top of the staircase of her nursery, 4 flights up, top of the castle.
And it's quite windy. It turns quite a lot.
It's very windy, and the staircase, the banister, is very low.
Yeah.
So she was leaning over with excitement to see if her friends were here, singing. And we've heard her sing, which is kind of la, 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 and fell to her death. Now, she's been seen quite a lot of people.
At this point, I would like to ask you, why do you occasionally sleep in this castle on your own? Seriously, Bonnie.
Do not break this circle, no matter what happens. No matter what happens, don't break this circle. I'm serious about that now. Does everybody agree to that?
Yeah.
Yes? Okay, here we go. And we'll just blow the candle out. Okay. Everybody just allow their eyes to adjust. Allow your eyes to adjust. This time, we're not looking for any old spirit. We're looking for Harriet. Harriet, Harriet, if you're there, send us a sign, please, Harriet. If you're there, just send us a sign, please, Harriet. If you're there, send us a sign. Send us a sign, Harriet. Harriet, if you're there, send us a sign. Send us a sign, Harriet. Don't break the circle. Whatever's happening, don't break the circle. Don't break the circle. What was that? Everybody stay there. Don't break the circle. Don't move. Everybody break the circle. Harriet, if you're there. Harriet, if you're there. Settle down. Everybody relax. Relax. Don't break the circle. Don't break the circle. Everybody relax. Harriet. Harriet, give us a sign. Give it, move. Everybody move, move some.
Donna, you okay?
Watch, everybody focus on the center of the table, on the objects. Harriet, if you're there, move something in the center. Harriet, settle down. Harriet, if you're there. Harriet. Everybody breathe. Yeah, okay, send us a sign, Harriet, that you're exiting. Harriet, leave us. Leave us, Harriet. Now, Harriet. Harriet, leave us now. We mean no harm. We mean no harm. We mean no harm.
Many, many years ago, in this radio station, there was no computers. There was a 5-disc changer that played out the music. So somebody would come in and put in 5 CDs, hit random, and tracks will play from, you know, there were gaps between the music. It was very, very messy. But one particular night, somewhere down the Midlands, there's a guy stuck in a warehouse and he's driving a forklift. By the way, before we go anywhere, who's the man that does all the music in this radio station? What's his name again?
Brian Adams.
Sorry, again?
His name is Brian Adams.
Park that for a little bit.
Okay.
So this guy's working in a warehouse. The radio for the warehouse is locked in an office upstairs, and Today FM is on. It's piping through the whole building, and it's on quite loud. So anyway, in the middle of the night at some point, on comes this song.
I got my first real six string, bought it at the five and done.
Yeah. It finishes.
Yeah.
Guess what happens? It plays again. Fair enough.
I got my first real six string.
Guy's driving a forklift, and that song finishes in CD changer. Remember, primitive overnight music playout system.
First real six string.
So when that finishes, Adele, guess what happens?
It starts again. Oh my God! Twice is all right, but
Jesus.
I got my first real six string.
This guy is going. He's going mad. He's locked in the warehouse, so he decides what he's going to do is he's going to get the number for Radio Ireland / Today FM, and he's going to ring and ask them, please, for the love of God.
Today FM, I'm sorry, our offices are not open at present. If you care to leave your name and number, we should get back to you as soon as possible.
Hello? Hello? Hello, Today FM? Can you please turn off the Brian Adams song and put on another song, please? Thank you.
Okay, 3 hours later. Guess what's still playing, Adele? Over and over and over. He's losing it. We're 4 hours into the shift.
Hello? Hello? Can you please change the f***ing song? Thank you.
We're 5 hours into the shift. He can't turn the radio off. He can't leave the building. He's on a forklift.
I got my first real six string.
And another one.
Please turn off Brian Adams. Please!
When the girls get in the morning, there's about 100 messages from this guy. He is losing the rag. And the girls are going, oh, Jesus. Brian Adams, by the way, is still playing. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. The Breakfast Show crew come in and this thing is looping and has been all night. And one of the girls said, we better ring him back. Better call.
Who's your head of music? Tell me now, who's in charge of the music?
The girl on the phone says...
Brian Adams.
Are you having a f***ing laugh?
100 to 102 Today FM.
I'm going to give you 60 seconds on the clock and I'm going to shout some GIF characters at you and then I'm going to give you a topic of that character.
So it's like Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah, exactly. But when you hear this, that means you got to jump character. Is that cool?
Right, okay.
All right. Sorry, Mario. You just compose yourself. You just go into your frame of mind and let's go. Ronan O'Gara,
hi.
Fitting a tyre.
Hi, I always believe that the best tyres I've ever fitted are Michelin tyres. Michelin tyres, they fit so neatly onto my jack and they just get propped up onto any 4x4s and before you notice, the Michelin tyre.
Keith Duffy, fitting a carpet.
How are you, buddies? Welcome to Carpet World. Which shag would you like? Would you like this shag, i.e. a pile, as opposed to Meg Ryan's hairdo in 1980?
Roy Keane, the latest in ladies' handbags.
All credit to Mulberry and all credit to Louis Vuitton at the end of the day and Hermes. Handbags, do you want one? Do you twine it on, are you? Because handbags, is that what you're on about?
Joan Burton and the voiceover for a major blockbuster movie.
In a land far, far away, one man, one hospital, James Riley is an American werewolf in Lusk.
Michael D. Higgins, yes, fake tan.
Indeed. Well, it is, of course, a wonderful thing to be put into a booth in Áras an Uachtaráin and twirled around by my wife Sabine and absolutely sprayed with Saint-Tropez or Sally Hansen or Ali, one of those things that my wife uses.
Do you have a sick voice? Have you done the whole calling in?
I think I've got the plague.
Yeah. Men can't pull it off. Women can. It's just you are sublime experts at it.
We know how to get in.
Lenny, sick voice.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. Lady, sick voice.
I'm pregnant again. That works every time.
And Leeson, what's your sick voice?
Sorry, I won't be in for a year. I've got cancer.
Anne's here!
Yay! Well.
How are you getting on?
Not too bad. How are you?
We kind of had heard whispers that you were going to come in today and say hello.
Yeah.
It's great to have you back.
Thanks very much. Great to be here. I'm nervous.
I'm bloody nervous as well.
Why are you nervous?
Because I don't know how to approach this.
I'm not used to wearing headphones. This is so weird.
You're not used to having hair.
Well, I don't have any hair. Do you want to feel it?
Give us a rub.
Here.
Oh, it's velvet.
It's nice. Like a baby, isn't it?
It's puppy.
Thanks,
how
Anne.
How do you feel? Nice.
The lucky rub.
Adele?
It's lovely.
It how is. Feel?
It's like it's petting off. A puppy.
Do you know what? I was actually over in the coffee shop across the way beforehand.
And they rubbed
and
your
I
head
know
as well.
The lad. No, he didn't rub my head. I know the lad in there, but I obviously haven't been in there in months. But he came around to the table anyway and said, "Oh, I like your haircut. It makes you look really young." And I was like, "It's not a haircut, it fell out like."
Treatment.
Yeah.
For those of you that may not have met Miss Anne Gleeson before, she's of this parish.
Yes.
From back in the day. Everyone will know who you are, of course they will. But it's,
I hope so.
Anne had to go away and do a bit of a battle. With the big C.
A mini
the,
battle.
Not the ocean. This was cancer. This was, yeah. This was serious. It's about a year ago.
I tell you what, I was diagnosed in July, but I was sick for about, I'd say, maybe 3 or 4 months before that.
Leading up to the whole illness, I can recall a couple of months beforehand, we were doing the evening shift, and I'd meet you occasionally, and you looked like you were in pain. You looked like you were in a lot of pain. And you didn't know at that time exactly what was going on.
I hadn't a clue, no.
You had a pain across your chest.
Yeah. Well, basically, I started running in January. And in February, I started getting these mad pains in my chest and my back.
Okay.
And I thought to myself, well, exercise, I'm never bloody doing that again,
that's,
you know?
Exercise is killing me.
Running is bad for you, like, yeah. It's true. But anyway, they used to come and go with the pains. They were back and forth and back and forth. And they kept getting worse. You know, that kind of a way?
Yeah, yeah.
So, went to a couple of doctors anyway. They said, nah, you're grand, just muscle, that's fine. Went and did the Ray Darcy show 5k run, and I swear to God, I was walking up to my boyfriend's apartment the night before. I couldn't walk up the bloody stairs, and I was going, right, that's fine, I'll take a Salpidine, I'll take this, I'll take that, I'll do the run. Did the run, pains kept coming back anyway, so went to another doctor, a brilliant doctor. He sent me off for a CT scan, and I remember at the time I was on air with Ray at the time, we kind of joked about it on air saying, oh God, hopefully you'll be in next week. So turned out it was cancer.
Okay.
And
when you heard about that for the very first time, when you're sitting across the table from a doctor and you're as young and as full of life and as mad as you are,
yeah.
And you hear something like that, you get that wallop.
It's mental. It's like, it's kind of two things. You're going, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. But then the other half of your brain is going, no, it's grand. It's happened to somebody else. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Was that the approach, honestly?
At the time, myself and Ian, my boyfriend, we were called in to see my doctor, and you know it's bad when the doctor calls you in, right? And I had to drive out, leave work, had to drive in, collected him on the way and sat in, and he said, well, it could be this. So anyway, of course, tears flowing. I'm actually getting a little bit emotional now thinking about it, but that was it anyway. So I had about a week or so of tests and excuse me.
Water taken.
Sorry.
Two,
yes. God's sake, come on. But I had a week or so of tests and biopsies and all this kind of stuff. And they came back and said that it was non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. So that was fine. And it was an aggressive form of cancer and they had to start treatment straight away. So there was a week of me going in for lumbar punctures and this and that. I'd say within 2 days of being diagnosed, I had chemo done in the 2 days.
That quick?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it had spread to various different parts of my body as well, so they'd keep me in bloody hospital for 3 weeks, which was a killer.
Yeah, of course.
Because obviously in the oncology section you can't have any open windows, anything like that, so you actually feel like a prisoner. So people were coming in and out going, God, it's a beautiful day outside, isn't it? And I was going, shut up, seriously, I can't even go outside. And if I do, I'm in a dressing gown, I look like a crazy person.
Yeah, okay.
But that was it. It was chemo. There was no surgery. There was no radiotherapy. It was chemo from, say, July up until December. And then earlier in January, they kind of came back to me and said, it's looking good. We don't know about radiotherapy yet. We just have to wait and see. It might be preventative because it was a massive tumor in my chest. And yesterday, I got the news that there'll be no radiotherapy. I'm all clear.
You're
I
back.
Can't even say it.
Oh, wow.
I'm in remission. All this brilliant stuff, brilliant buzzwords.
Now.
Oh, stop. So I'm finished, I'm done.
You do look amazing, by the way.
Thanks very much.
You look really, really...
I'm blushing now.
You're really, really happy and healthy.
Thank you.
And now that you're back and you're coming back in some capacity, you know what this means.
What?
Adele can go and have another baby.
Hey!
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Stereophonics are in the other room. How are you doing, lads?
Very good.
Excellent.
Yeah, fantastic. Nice to be back.
You know, the last time we spoke, Kelly, the tickets for your gig were just about to go on sale. And 15 minutes after the interview, they were all gone. So we've just been speaking to your manager about a door deal.
Yeah.
If that's okay with you.
I love the way you work.
4%, we'll be happy with that.
4%.
That'll do.
4% to you, 20% to him, 15% to the booking agent. We'll have a can of Tango and a bag of Wotsits at the end.
Listen, it's great to have you back. It's great to have another brilliant album from you guys. You must be delighted with the way the album's turned out.
Yeah, we've really chuffed, actually. You know, we had a slightly different approach to making the record. Took a year from touring for a while.
Okay.
And it's been received really well all over Europe and everywhere we've been so far. So, yeah, it's going well.
Well, I heard that one of Kelly's favourite books is Life by Keith Richards. And I recently finished it, and there's a shepherd's pie anecdote in there about you guys.
We had a game of snooker with him in his dress room in a stadium in Paris. And we went into the dress room, and he's got a 12-foot snooker table in his dressing room. So it's a pretty big dressing room. And he had a few 1940 Gibson acoustics, and there's a shepherd's pie in the corner of the room, which you're entitled to have some as long as you don't bust the crust. He has to be the first one in, and if somebody gets in there before him, it's sent back and then another one is brought out. But he lets you have it with HB sauce and all sorts.
Mick came in, screamed, "Don't touch the crust, man."
Yeah, you're not allowed to have the crust. Yeah, Mick came into our dressing room and he said to Richard's wife, he goes, "Are you a singer?" And she goes, "No." "Well, you dancer?" And she goes, "No." "What are you then?" I said, "Mick, this is Richard's wife." "Sorry."
GuideDogs.ie. If you want to go online and you're feeling generous today, please help out if you can. Now, one of the most famous faces and one of the patrons for the Irish Guide Dogs is Mr. Roy Keane.
How are you doing?
How are you?
Very good. Very good. Obviously, just keep myself a little bit busy doing a small bit of work, but not too much. And just kind of enjoy my bit of freedom, I have to say.
It must be unusual for you because, you know, for years you were just so tied down to schedules and training and games, and the whole life was consumed with football. So after all of that, I mean, filling up your time, is it easy to do? Is it?
I think it's very difficult at the start, I have to say. I think, as you said, for years I loved the training, I loved the discipline, preparation, I suppose the ups and downs of football results. Obviously I had my share of disappointments with injuries, etc. So it is a shock to the system, I have to say, when you stop playing.
What other things do you do outside of football? I mean, what are your real passions and interests outside of...
Strangely enough, I feel busy enough as it is. I've got a fairly big family. I've got a couple of dogs. I do seem to be busy. Whatever I might be doing, I find something to do most days. As I said, I'm not one really for sitting around. So it could be anything. It could be as simple as going on school runs, going to the movies, walking my dogs, going for a game of snooker with some friends, going to watch matches. And when I do, obviously, if I cover games for ITV and it's abroad, I'll be away for 2 or 3 days. Like this week, obviously, we're in Germany, and it's about a 2 or 3 day commitment. So, as I said, I keep myself fairly busy.
Are we going to encourage any young little Keenos to put on a jersey? Mm.
I've got one boy, obviously, I've got four girls. Aiden plays a little bit, but I'll be honest with you, I don't push him too hard on that. I leave it up to him. If he wants to play football, good luck to him. He plays for a local team here, and he enjoys it. And but, as I said, I don't get involved. I leave him to it. Yeah. I don't want to be one of them parents that puts him under pressure to play a sport just because of the fact I played it. He'll find his own way.
Roy, very important question. Does he support Man United?
No, he doesn't. No. Oh,
really?
No, he, strangely enough, and I still haven't figured out, I think he likes Arsenal.
Oh, right, okay. Right,
yeah, so, yeah. But listen, I'm still trying to figure that one out.
The winner of the Le Crunch Apple of My Eye song contest is... Nathan Johnston.
Nathan Johnston, get up here. All right. Come on, champion. How are you?
Great, thanks.
Did you expect to win?
No, not at all. I thought the Trinity Stones were just going to kill it. I'm in shock. I don't know what to say.
Paul has a little something for you. It's a check for €8,000. That is yours, buddy. Well done.
Thanks so much. Thanks.
How are you feeling now?
Honestly, I don't know what to say. Just thanks a million to everyone who supported me, everyone who voted. over the past few weeks, and just, yeah, it's amazing. Thanks so much.
Brilliant.